I want to join in those that have already done this, but welcome to Faith Church. My name's Derek. I'm one of the pastors here, and we are really glad to see each of you each Sunday when we get to see you, those of you that are familiar faces that we know that are here, and those that are new faces to us, welcome. Let us know how we can help you or answer questions or pray for you. And I would hope, I pray, my desire is for each of you this morning is that you'd be able to come and go from this place having interacted not just with a place, with a building, but having interacted with each other. So take some time and make yourself available and say a hello and find out a name that you don't know. And it's important. I invite you to do that. Thanks for listening. Church family, God is at work in the world. Church family, did you hear this? Do we know this? Do we gather excitedly? Do we seek him each day in our lives because we are aware that God is at work in the world? Let me tell you, God is at work in the world, not only, certainly, most importantly, in making it possible for our salvation. God is at work in the world in that from before eternity, he has purposed to redeem, to rescue a people for himself, to call people into his family. God is at work in the world. Amen. God is at work in the world, and not just to bring about our salvation, but God, get this, church family, invites you and I to be part of what he's doing in the world. And we're going to get into that a little bit today. We're going to be reminded about that a little bit today. Church family, I'm just as excited as I was last week about what we're doing today. I'm excited about this new series that we're calling Faith Church, Our Story, Our Mission, Our Part. Today is part two. We're going to focus on our mission. If you missed part one, it's okay. See what God has for you today for part two. We're in part two of three, and I thought about this week. I have preached over 250 sermons in the almost 8 years that God has had me leading Faith Church, helping lead Faith Church. And why I was thinking of that is because all of these years and all of those sermons, I don't think I've ever specifically encouraged you to make sure you catch all three sermons. Now, I regularly encourage you to be here, right? I regularly encourage you to be committed and intentional to joining together in worship each Sunday, but I don't know that I've ever said, hey, these three, catch them all. So if you missed last Sunday, it's available on our website, Facebook, YouTube. If you have trouble with that, call the office, we'll help you out. You're here today, check, nice job. And join us next week if you can in person, or again, if you miss it, there's ways to grab it. I would really encourage you to catch all three. Why? Because while what we're doing today and in this three-part series, while it's different than what we normally do, and by that what I mean is what we normally do is pick a passage of Scripture, get into it, and hear from God through one passage of Scripture. We're not doing that today. What I say it's a little different than usual because we oftentimes pick a book of the Bible and teach our way through it. That's what we do the great majority of the time around here. And yet, I'm encouraging you to catch all three of these parts because I think there's important significance in understanding Faith Church, our story, our mission, our part. Part one, last Sunday, was kind of where we come from. What's our history? What's the association of churches we're partnered with? And how does that impact who we are? And today, part two is really a little bit more about this local church. A little tiny bit of our history, and then also just what makes us tick? What are we all about around here? And this is important. I think there's significance for us as a church family, and it is still biblically based, and you're going to see scriptures this morning. And then part three next week we'll talk about as we go is how do we partner together? How do we partner together and join God in his mission to the world? Church family, God is at work in the world. And get this, he invites you and I to be part of what he's doing in the world. Father in heaven, we need you this morning. Lord, we're busy. We may be tired, we may have distraction, But God, you've brought us here. And so I pray that we would be able to look to you this morning and hear from you this morning, that you would open our hearts and minds to hear from you and to be changed and to learn how you, who you've called us to be and how we can serve you more and more. In Jesus' name, amen. So, a brief history of Faith Church, and I don't even know if it's fair for me to say a brief history, because I'm just going to tell a little bit from the very beginnings of Faith Church, and I know there's so much that could be told, and I know some of you could tell it better than I, but I want you to get just a glimpse, and then we'll continue this morning into kind of what's God called us to, what makes us tick, what are we all about. The first meetings of what would become Faith Church were back in the fall of 1965, and there was a group of people that were starting to meet together and seeking God together and wondering what God would have for them, and they began to consider forming a new church. And in those discussions, I believe they thought, you know, this is important. We want to have a local church, but we also find it important to partner. We don't want to be alone in this. We know we're better together with others. And so there was some awareness in those early days of the EFCA, of the Evangelical Free Church of America, the Association of Churches of which we are part. See part one last Sunday, if you didn't already hear that. And so they became aware of the EFCA. And so then in January 1966, so just maybe 10 days ago, would mark 59 years of Faith Church affiliated with the EFCA. And back in those early days, a guy named Waldo Flickinger became the first pastor. And then while we know that church is not what? A building. The church is God's people. And yet I want to tell you a little bit about buildings, because I think it speaks to God's faithfulness. I think it speaks to a group of people seeking God, wanting to glorify Jesus, and then God providing what they needed. In those early days, Faith Church moved into the historic Pioneer Church building that used to sit in Rickreall. And my understanding is it stood where the old fire station now is. And then that Pioneer Historic Church building at some point burned down, allowing for that site to be the old fire station. At that point, when they couldn't meet in this historic church building, Faith Church moved across the street to the Grange Hall in Rickreall that's still there, right? Many of you can picture that. So God providing place for them to be, place for them to worship. And then they began to seek out a place to be more permanently, and they started looking at this piece of property. And you know, I don't know what you think about Dallas now, and we might already kind of feel like we're kind of on the edge of town, we're a little far from some of the central stuff. But I think, if I had to guess, back in that day, I bet this piece of property felt even more rural, even more farmland, even more sort of out in the middle of nowhere compared to town, right? But it takes some forward thinking, it takes some faith thinking, and it takes some, hey, we want to have a place to worship, we want to be able to invite people to worship with us. And so they began to look at this property, and in 1967, they put up the first building, which we now call the chapel. They put up another, then they did a wing where we have the kids. In 1984, the community center across the parking lot was built. This room was built in 1990. And all of these steps took faith and generosity and help. The church family was involved in much of that process in building. There was also groups from the EFCA that came to help with different stages. And here's what I love about that, is when you start doing stuff like that, when you look for a place to be, when you ask God to provide, when you build a building, you know what you're doing? You're looking forward. You're thinking of other people. Because of the faith of other people, you and I have a place to be and to gather together and to worship Jesus, right? They were forward thinking. They were gospel thinking. They were wanting a church in town to teach the Bible and proclaim Jesus. And so if there's one thing we could take away from that, I want us to be encouraged that we have the same opportunity. We have the same opportunity in what God calls us to now, to think forward, to think of those that are to come, who in Dallas needs to hear about Jesus, where is our church going to be, what is our church going to be all about. And so we're thinking forward as well and thinking gospel-mindedly, so that we can be part of all that God is doing. I know there's more that we could tell. And maybe those stories will be told at different times and different opportunities, but that's it for now, so that I can keep moving. What is Faith Church all about then? As Faith Church has grown, as God has led Faith Church over many, many years, what is the mission of Faith Church? Faith Church exists to help people become fully devoted followers of Jesus. I love that phrase, fully devoted, because just to remind you, church family, being a Christian is not something that just happens and then it's over, right? We don't step into the Christian club and that's all that God wants to do with us. It's a never-ending journey. This church is desires for you to know and follow Jesus and obey him and continue to be transformed by him and continue to be molded by God into more and more into the image of Christ. And so may all that we do help people, you and me, to be increasingly fully devoted followers of Jesus. Fully devoted followers of Jesus do these things. They love God, they love others, and they make disciples. And we find scriptural background for that among many places in our Bibles. We look to the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. The first two verses on the screen are from what we would call the Great Commandment, when Jesus was asked, hey, what's the most important thing in the law? And his answer was, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then Jesus continued and said, and the second one is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Fully devoted followers of Jesus obey the Great Commandment. We love God and we love others. And then the third verse up there on the screen is known as the Great Commission. This is Jesus has died, buried, risen from the dead, and just before he ascends into heaven, among the very last things he says to his followers is go and make disciples. You who are followers of Jesus, go and help other people become followers of Jesus. Fully devoted followers of Jesus love God, they love others, and they make disciples. And so another way that we tell about who we are on the next slide is as fully devoted followers of Jesus who love God, love others, and make disciples, we describe ourselves as a family of growing Jesus followers on mission together in those phrases, family, love others, growing Jesus followers, love God, and on mission together, make disciples. So those are just a couple of the ways we remind each other and express what Faith Church is all about. So how do we approach this mission? How do we go about this? And I think as we go over the next few minutes of some distinctives about Faith Church, as I talk through just a few highlights of the way we do what we do, I'm hopeful that as I describe these, you're going to go, oh yeah, I see that. I see God making that true at Faith Church. I see why that's a priority around here. How do we approach this mission that God's given us? Well, loving God, loving others, and making disciples shapes all that we do and say, hopefully, with God's help. Living those out shapes all that we are and all that we do. And here's just a few examples. What's a couple of the ways that we exalt Jesus? What's some of the ways we love God? We want to be a church family that is Jesus exalting and gospel focused. Last Sunday, we talked about the fact that our history, from our history, we are people of the word, people who look to the scriptures to hear from God. We're asking with God's help that Faith Church would be a Jesus exalting and gospel focused place. And if we are people of the word, if we desire to be shaped by God as he speaks to us through the Bible, then we need to be in our Bibles, not just on Sundays, but seeking him individually. And we need to allow the God through his word to correct us, to convict us, to challenge us, to teach us, to guide us. We want to be people of the word. And so certainly when you first maybe became aware of Faith Church, or if you're relatively new to Faith Church, I hope that your experience of Faith Church is that we are Jesus exalting and gospel focused. I think when you gather here on a Sunday morning, especially a first time person, especially someone maybe who doesn't yet follow Jesus, I hope and pray that what is obvious is that we are unashamedly Christian. That when we sing songs, they glorify Jesus. When we teach from the Bible, we are proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I pray that when people come to Faith Church and experience this together as a family, that they would come away from this gathering like the people in 1 Corinthians 14 saying, wow, God is really among you. Not because of what I do or what you do, but because we are, with God's help, being a church that is Jesus exalting and gospel proclaiming. When I say gospel proclaiming, we've got to say, what's the gospel? What's God given us to proclaim? The gospel is the spectacular news that God rescues sinners like you and I through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. The spectacular news of the gospel is that while I rebel and go my own way and choose myself and build a little kingdom for myself and try to put myself on the throne, while you and I tend to do that, God purposed from eternity to rescue us. He sent his son to live and die and be raised again so that you and I might live and be forgiven of sin and be brought into the family of God. Amen. The gospel, good news, that this church exists to proclaim for our benefit, yes, but also through you to those who need Jesus. The gospel that needs to be proclaimed is that God is the creator of all things. And he created you and I. And he created you and I to know him. He wants to know you and for you to be his. But that rebellion I talked about a minute ago, our tendency, our selfish, sinful tendency to go our own way, rebel against God, choose our own ways and not his, that breaks the relationship we have with God. The creator of the universe created you to know him. And our rebellion kind of breaks that relationship, and God could have left it there and said, man, what a bunch of slackers. But he didn't. He made a way. He bridged a gap. You and I think we can bridge the gap to God. Sometimes we try to get our act together. We try to be a good person. We try to check religious boxes of what we've done for God. And maybe he'll like us a little better. And maybe I can bridge that gap to a holy and perfect God. And we can't. But the gospel good news is that God paved a way. That God bridged the gap. That he sent his son. And that the perfect life, the substitutionary death, and the victorious resurrection from the dead of Jesus Christ makes it possible for us to know God now and forever. That is just a glimpse of how Faith Church, by God's grace, will be a Jesus-exalting, gospel-proclaiming church family. How do we love others? Here's just a couple examples. We want to be a church family that is welcoming, and that welcomes everyone, and that blesses our community, that serves our community. This is important. We've talked about this more and more in recent years. Church family, we want to be a loving and welcoming place here. We want to be a loving and welcoming place to each other, fellow Christians and people we already know. And we want to love others, right? We don't want to exist here in our little bubble. We want to be a church family that also loves others by being a blessing into our community. We want to be loving here, and we want God's love poured into us and overflowing from us to drive us out into our community and world with his love as well. I want you to be aware that at Faith Church, especially on Sundays, there are new people with us every Sunday. And if you're not aware, there are people that don't yet know Jesus with us every Sunday. And church family, every church out there says, oh, we're a really warm and welcoming church. But you know what makes us a warm and welcoming church? You. You. I think we are. Maybe I'm biased. But I think we're a warm and welcoming church. And it's not because me and the other people that get paid say hi to people. It's because God's love is poured into you, and his love overflows out of you. And I believe that Faith Church is warm and welcoming because God has loved you, and because God has loved you, you are loving others. The most awkward 3 minutes on a Sunday morning for someone who's new is the couple of minutes right before we start and the couple of minutes right after we end. And one of the reasons that some people walk out quickly is because we haven't made a connection. We haven't seen them, greeted them, got to know their name, and I and other a few others can't do it all. Faith Church is a welcoming place because of you, so thank you for your care for others. And then as we serve the community as well, how can we be a blessing to our community? How can Faith Church not just exist here, but be a people that if we were somehow gone all of a sudden, Dallas would miss us? That's the kind of people, that's the kind of church family that we want to ask God to help us be, is that somehow if Faith Church ceased to exist somehow, which won't happen, that Dallas would miss us. All right, keep going. How do we, that's love God, love others. How do we live out our mission? How do we approach our mission to make disciples? We want to be equipping and sending. You hear me say often, church family, that each of you followers of Jesus is a spirit-empowered minister of the gospel. If you are a Christian, if you have been saved out of sin and death and brought into new life with God because you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, then the God himself, the Holy Spirit, lives within you, and you were saved by God, forgiven of your sins, brought into his family, and each of you is a spirit, a Holy Spirit-empowered minister of the gospel. All of us are called to minister, to serve, to be conduits of God's love, to be proclaimers of the good news, to be evangelists. The verses on the screen will remind us some of this good stuff, that Jesus, when he prayed, said, "Father, as you sent me into the world, I'm sending my followers into the world." He doesn't want us to just be here in a holy huddle, getting to be growing Christians. He says, "As Father, as you sent me into the world, I'm sending my followers into the world." Church family, you, if you're a follower of Jesus, each of you is a Holy Spirit-empowered minister of the gospel, and you can be a proclaimer of God's love. We love because he first loved us, and you can be a proclaimer of the excellencies of him who called you out of the darkness and into the light. So our mission at Faith, our God-given mission, to help people become fully devoted followers of Jesus who love God, love others, and make disciples. How, as we approach that mission, as we move forward into what God has for us, how is Faith Church governed? Who leads at Faith Church? This is an important topic for us to understand. Again, remember I said this series is a little different. And yet it's important and it has significance for us as a church family and for us as believers to know what's God up to in a local church and what's important for me to know and how do I join together with what's going on, with what God's doing through this local church and into our community and into the world. So who leads at Faith Church? Last week when we learned a little bit about the Evangelical Free Church of America, I mentioned this phrase, that every local church, we are associated with churches all over the country, but we as a local church are autonomous and self-governing, which means there's no one over us that's telling us what to do. We are by choice associated with all these other churches, and it's a blessing, and there's a two-way relationship between us and the EFCA. But here, this local church is autonomous and self-governing. I would describe Faith Church as an elder-led congregational form of government. Elder-led congregational. What do I mean by that? Here's, in the next couple minutes, three key points to explain to you how Faith Church operates, how we are governed, how we are led. Three quick points. The first one, Jesus is the senior pastor of Faith Church. The Bible says right there that Jesus is the head of the body, the church. Maybe that's one reason I prefer lead pastor. We'll leave term senior pastor to Jesus, our chief shepherd. But this is significant. It means that in elder-led congregationalism, first of all, this is a Christocracy, not a democracy. Right? First and foremost, as people who are led by Jesus, the chief shepherd, by Jesus being our senior pastor, so to speak, this is a Christocracy, not a democracy. We want to submit ourselves to Jesus in all things. Elder-led congregationalism. What's the congregational part of that? Well, we are set up, our documents, our constitution and bylaws indicate that after Jesus, under Jesus, Faith Church is governed by the congregation, specifically by those who have gone through a process to become official members of our congregation. So under Jesus, the official members of Faith Church have authority, especially in some certain key critical decisions and matters of vote. And that's the way the congregation, the people of Faith Church, have that congregational authority. Where does that come from scripturally? Well, last week we talked about the priesthood of all believers. There's examples in scripture where a matter is taken to the whole church for consideration. And so, because we believe that you as followers of Jesus have God himself by the Holy Spirit within you, we believe that each believer in Jesus can hear from God through his Spirit, right? And so because of that, then we believe that God speaks to each believer, and so therefore the church collectively has a role in seeing what's God doing? What's God calling us to? What decisions do we need to make? And the way that looks around here is that our official members have authority, have a vote when it comes to our budget, how we spend our money, when it comes to who our leaders are, who our elders are. We vote, and the congregation has authority to hire or remove our pastors. The congregation is involved if there were to be changes to our constitution and bylaws, and a couple other, you know, different major decisions. Those are the kind of things that come up in the life of a church where God speaks to us through the voice of the congregation. Elder-led congregationalism. That was the congregational point. What's the elder part of elder-led congregationalism? Jesus is our senior pastor. Each person is a spirit-empowered and able to hear from God. And what do we find in the scriptures? We find in the scriptures that when you become a believer in Jesus, you receive among the gifts of our salvation are a spiritual gift, a supernatural empowerment that you have to contribute to the church, to be a blessing to others, and to serve the ministry of the church. Each of you, followers of Jesus, have one or more of these spiritual gifts, and spiritual gifts are meant to glorify God. They're not, your spiritual giftedness is not to make you look impressive and make us all impressed and wish we were like you. Your spiritual giftedness comes to you by God so that you will glorify him and serve the body, serve the church with that gift. And among those spiritual gifts, some of those gifts are gifts, that, like the verse on the screen says, that are reserved for or that are given to leadership roles in the church. These are spiritual gifts that are supernatural enablement roles for leadership in the local church, specifically what we hear in the New Testament over and over again as elders, overseers, pastors. So, elder-led congregationalism. Jesus is the senior pastor. Every believer hears from God, so they have authority to, the congregation has authority to speak into things, especially on those occasional and big decisions. But then really, when you think about the government of our church, the way things operate, in many ways, we, the church family, we, the members, have delegated day-to-day leadership to our staff and elders. There's things that go on every day, every week, decisions that need to be made, ministries that need to be led, people that need to be cared for. And so we, as a church family, have delegated day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month ministry to our staff and elders because of their giftedness. How are we doing? So, after mentioning that, maybe a good natural question would be, who are our leaders? Before I show a picture of some of our leaders and introduce some of our leaders, let me say this. I think the Bible, I believe the Bible teaches what we call a plurality of elders. that the leadership of a church happens by multiple, a plurality of elders. In Acts and in multiple places in Scripture, when there were these new churches started, over and over we see that multiple elders were appointed to lead those churches. And so it is my conviction that God leads Faith Church through the plurality of our elder team, not just one elder, that collectively we seek God and we care for our people and interact with the people of this church family and then are responsible to lead. I want to introduce our pastoral elders. These are our shepherds. Let's go ahead and put the photo up. In the back row there are our elders, and standing in front of each one of them is their wives. On the left, you have Trevor and Sarah Russell. Next to them, you have Scott and Tammy Russell. Then you have Stephen and Lori Schilling. Then you have Michael and Donna Davis. Then you have Darren and Debbie Davies. Then you have Amy and myself. And we were being hosted for a very gracious dinner at my in-law's house. So starring in the front and center is my in-law's dog, Zoe. Zoe is not an elder, last I checked. These are our awesome shepherds who love Jesus, love you, and seek God to direct our church. In the New Testament, the terms pastor and elder and overseer are really used pretty interchangeably. Pastors shepherd God's people. Elders are called to shepherd, care for, lead the people. 1 Peter 5 says this, "So I exhort to the elders among you, shepherd the flock that is among you. Exercise oversight, not because you have to, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly to serve others. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being an example to the flock." Our elder team, these men who love Jesus and love you, are responsible for the spiritual oversight of Faith Church. They are responsible before God for your spiritual health and growth. And they are clearly in Scriptures also given responsibility to oversee and guide the ministry forward. And we have an opportunity to serve alongside them, to pray for them, to encourage them in what God has given them to do. We also have a staff team. I'll put a picture of that up. The staff team starting left to right there is Pastor Matt, who came in 2018. Then Christy came in 2020. Christy is currently on maternity leave after the Richards had their second baby recently. In the center is me, Derek, who was called and to be lead pastor here back in 2017. That's when my family and I arrived. Next to me is Pastor Jake, who started serving with us in 2019. Then you have Debbie, minister to children and families, who has been faithfully serving our church family since 2005. And then our staff picture is not up to date because we have a new member to our staff named Kara as well, who serves on our office team. And we have a temporary staff member named Sarah Russell, who used to be on our staff and is helping out right now while Christy's on maternity leave. So just a great group of people, again, who love Jesus and love you. And as I think about elders and staff, let's put this verse back up on the screen. We did the first part of this verse earlier, that God gives these leadership roles in the church, that he calls people to serve as apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers. But why? Why does God set apart people? Why does he spiritually gift certain people? Why does he call staff and elders into leadership roles in a church family? The rest of that verse continues, to equip you, to equip the believers for the work of the ministry. Does it say those leaders do all the work of the ministry themselves? It says that the work of the ministry, of those leaders, is to serve and equip you, to help you embrace your identity as Holy Spirit-empowered ministers of the gospel who can be conduits of God's love and proclaimers of Jesus in your spheres of influence. That's the role of our leaders, is to help Faith Church live out its mission to help people love God, love others, and make disciples. So the last part we want to cover this morning is how you can jump in. The ministry of Faith Church exists to help people become fully devoted followers of Jesus. How can you, every person that attends Faith Church, is part of the church family, how can you help us and help yourself by being a family of growing Jesus followers on mission together? And these next few things that I'm going to list pretty quickly are encouragements to you, ways that you can engage, ways that you can jump in, ways that you can be part of the mission of Faith Church for your good, for your own good and spiritual health, but also so that God can work in you and through you as you join the mission of Faith Church. And I want to say this too, as I list these next few things, this is not a religious checklist. This is not a list of to-dos, and I got to try hard, and I got to earn God's favor, and maybe if I do enough stuff. It's not that. The list that I'm about to share with you is what I would call hallways where the Holy Spirit is active. It's you have an opportunity to be intentional about your spiritual life. You have an opportunity to engage, to participate in growing to know God more and more. You have an opportunity to participate, to engage, to seeking God and living out the mission. But here's the good news. All of it is because of God's work in you. Not because of what you do on your own effort, not trying to impress God. You're not left to yourself to grow in Jesus, or you're not left to your own power to live out the mission of Faith Church. These are hallways. These are things we can engage in, hallways where the Spirit is active, where the Holy Spirit can continue to fill us and guide us and shape us for His purposes in our life. The first one I would encourage you to do is to grow. It says on the screen there, the Bible says in James, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Your spiritual health and growth is not just my responsibility, or not just our elders and staff's responsibility. We want to come alongside. We want to encourage you. We want to help if we can. We want to point you to Jesus. But follower of Jesus, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Be intentional. Pursue God. Desire to know Him. Get in the Word. Get in the Scriptures. Get a helpful book or something that teaches you. If you need help, talk to a believer. Get some ideas. Ask us. Get in the Word. Pray. Talk with God. Pursue your relationship with God. Second one we'll mention is gather. This is the commitment to regular, consistent, intentional being together with the body of Christ, especially on Sundays, but plenty of other times well. Plenty of other times as well. Connect with one another. Be part of the family. Be encouraged by what God is doing by your intentionality, your commitment to gather for worship. Something I read recently said this about our gathered times of worship together, like this morning, that worship helps us move from self-centered complaint to God-glorifying praise. If left to ourselves, if left to myself, things devolve into me, 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 and devolve into what do I get out of this, and devolve into frustration. But we gather together weekly, and one of the main benefits is being pointed back to Jesus, being reminded of God's grace, and shifting the focus from ourselves to God. So gather for worship. What did we sing a little bit ago? Come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me. Lift up your voice. Get up and praise the Lord. I mean, this is why we need to gather, is we need reminders, and we need to be spurred, and we need the opportunity to open our mouth and sing, whether we sing well or not, because God is at work in the gathering. God is at work through His Scriptures. God is at work when you pray. God is at work when you open your mouth to sing and you consider the lyrics of the worship. Allow God to shape you by engaging, by putting yourself in a hallway where the Spirit is active. The next one up there is life groups. We love to encourage you to be part of a life group around here because this is great and all on Sunday mornings, but this is a lot of people and there's no way for all of us to know all of us. But one of the ways that the church gets a little smaller, one of the ways that circles of a smaller group of people is in some ways more effective or powerful than rows of many, many people is by being part of a life group where you can share your life. I've told you this before, and I can't elaborate on it real long right now. Church family, you've heard that one of the most significant things in my spiritual journey, in my spiritual growth, one of the biggest ways that God has used over many, many years to point me to Jesus and to correct my sin and to show me his grace is when I am committed to a small group of people that know me and I know them, who I can tell the truth about my life. And so within our life groups, not only do we encourage you to be in a life group, but we encourage our life groups to break down into even smaller groups from there. We call DNA groups. So maybe if your life group is, say, a dozen, we encourage a group of three men and a group of three women and a group of three men and a group of three women. And I have had something like that in my life for the last, I think, 15 to 18 years. And it's been one of the most powerful tools in God's hands for shaping me to be more like Jesus. So we'd encourage you to be part of a life group where you can know and be known and tell the truth about your life and help each other grow spiritually. We'd encourage you to serve. We've already talked about this in some ways. Each of you followers of Jesus has spiritual gifts. You have energy, you have time that you can give to the Lord, that you can use your spiritual gift and energy and time and effort to glorify God by serving the church. Look for an opportunity you have to contribute to the ministry around here. How is it that God is wanting you to be a blessing to others and volunteer your time and serve the church family or serve our community for the sake of Christ? The body of Christ, the Bible teaches us, is at its best. The body, the family of God is at its best, is most healthy when every part of the body contributes, when every part of the body is functioning and healthy and serving. And the last one is we encourage you to partner. You know, look for ways to partner with this ministry. How can we as a church family partner with our staff and elders? How can we as a church family partner with God on his mission to help people know and follow Jesus? And we're going to talk more about this one next Sunday, so I don't need to elaborate. But there's opportunities that each of you, whether you're an official member or not, are invited into to partner, to pray for each other, to pray for leadership, to give of your finances, to serve with your spiritual gifts, to support one another and care for one another and be accountable to one another. There's so much value that God has for us as we partner. And here's where I'll finish. We started this morning with just a tidbit of history about Faith Church, about this local church. Here's where I'm going to finish. Some of you have been around for much more of the history of Faith Church than I have. But we can celebrate together 59 years of fruitful gospel ministry. I think that's something we can give thanks to God for. And yeah, 59 years of fruitful gospel ministry, of love, God's love being proclaimed to others, of the good news of Jesus being taught, and so much that God has done in and through us. And so it is good to know our history and how that shapes us today. And then we continue to, then we shift our eyes forward and ask God, what do you have for us next? And again, many of you know the history of Faith Church more than me. But like most churches, and like our own experience of earthly life, we've had seasons in this church family, I'm sure, of highs and lows, right? Of hardships and of joys, just like our own individual lives. There's seasons, and there's work that God does in and through a church, and we want to ask God, what are you up to now, and how can we be part? I really think that since about, this is just my experience in my years here, I really think that since about 2021, 22, as God brought us through COVID and some various challenges, I really think this has been a new season and a joyful season and a caring for one another season in the life of Faith Church. I am so thankful to God. Many of you often remind me of all that we have to be thankful for God for these joyful gatherings and friendships and care for one another and fruitful ministry stories I hear from you of God's love going through you and going through Faith Church to those who need God's love and the good news of Jesus being proclaimed near and far because of God's work in and through you. And because of all that, and because I know how awesome our God is, you know what I really think? I really think the best years for Faith Church are ahead. I know they are. I know they are. Not because the past hasn't been good, but because our God is so great. I really believe that the best years for Faith Church are ahead. The best ministry, the best Jesus proclaiming is ahead. So this is a great time to be part of Faith Church. Whether you've been here a long time or whether you're wondering if this is where God might connect you to be part of a church family, I really believe that this is a great time to be part of all that God is doing. And so let's join together. Let's join together to glorify Jesus by living out the ways of Jesus in our spheres of influence, not because we have some incredible ability, but because God is at work in us. Let's join together and continue to give him glory. Father in heaven, thank you for your great love for us. Father, thank you for these opportunities we have as a church family to gather on Sundays to consider where we've come from, what you've done in the past, and how that shapes who we are. God, thank you for the opportunity we've had today to consider what Faith Church is all about. God, I pray that we would increasingly be all about Jesus. God, may Faith Church, by your grace and by your work in us, be a Jesus-exalting, gospel-proclaiming ministry for your glory. And God, show us what you have for us all together, but even for us individually as followers of Jesus. God, show us how we can work together on this mission you've called us to. Father, I pray for myself and I pray for each person listening that we would draw near to you. And we thank you that as we draw near to you, you draw near to us. Spur us, remind us, convict us to seek you, to be intentional about our spiritual health and life and growth. May we put ourselves in hallways of your word and of prayer where the Spirit can work in our lives. And God, as we continue the rest of our time together this morning, we desire that our gatherings would be worshipful in every way. God, not because of our own efforts, but because of you in us. I pray that we would express our worship on Sundays and every day, that we would lift our voices in song as worship, that we would pray as worship, that we would study your word as worship, that we would give our offerings out of thankful hearts for all that you've done for us, that we would care for one another as worship. God, I pray that your love that fills us would overflow out of us to those around us who need to be reminded of your goodness this morning, who need to be reminded of your care. Help us to be conduits of your love and proclaimers of Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.